we present Episode 4 of Ballylennan by Christopher Fitzsimon. Joe McMonagall, Minister for Posts and Telegraphs, has saved the Ballylennan Manual Exchange from closure, ensuring continued employment for its operator Vera McConkie, as well as providing a source of information on his constituency rival Terry White. Guard Gallagher pursues his plan for an opera festival, and the part-time journalist Stumpy Bonner supports Fonsi Doherty, chairman of the Development Association, in his desire to demolish the Georgian courthouse. Ballylennan, summer 1953.
Ballylennan call office, number please.
Hello, I'm looking for Miss McConkie. Miss Muriel McConkie.
My sister's down at the Swilly Arms. I'm looking after the shop for her. Is it Mr. Bonner?
That's right. It's in her capacity as Honorary Secretary of the Development Association I'm looking for her, so am.
I imagine it's an association business. She's at the hotel with Mr. Doherty.
Is that a fact? There was a complaint into the editor of the Vindicator about my coverage of the last meeting not being up to scratch. So there was. The subject was the proposal to demolish the old courthouse. I'm not too pleased, so I'm not.
I thought you covered the facts very well, Mr. Bonner, compared to that biased thing we read in the Irish Times, making us all look like morons. And snakes in the grass, too.
Oh, that was an ignorant piece, very one-sided. Well, I gave the right side. Mm. And it seems now that the Vindicator has been accused of being biased. Of course, the readers don't know I wrote it, because I signed the Ballylennan jottings with a nom de plume.
Man about town, which is what you are, Mr. Bonner. But who'd have done a thing like that?
Now, the editor wouldn't let on to me, not being a staff reporter, you know.
I know. You're the Ballylennan stringer.
Not stringer, correspondent.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was what they called you.
I know, because I work at the railway station. There's no respect for me as a writer. But I'll tell you one thing for nothing. Mr. Doherty appreciates what I write and how I write
it. He does, of course. Sure, we all do.
I'm a writer in my own right, so I am. My book on the history of the football team up at Ballylennan is in more houses than that Vivienne Bowles book about the old ruins, so it is.
You've put a thought into my mind, Mr. Bonner, about who made the complaint about your article on the old courthouse.
Well, she can save her breath to cool her porridge, so she can.
Will I put you through to my sister at the Swilly Arms?
No, I think I'll drop in there myself. I want a word with Fonsi.
Right,
you know.
You are. Oh, are you busy down at the station?
Oh, not too busy. Now that they've reduced the dairy trains to 2 a day, it's fairly quiet.
Well, I hope they won't make you redundant. We wouldn't like to see you replaced by an aluminium trolley. Goodbye now. Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Oh, Sergeant, I was expecting to see Guard Gallagher.
Anything I can do?
Oh, no, thank you. I'm only inquiring about a dog license. I can call back again.
Are you there, Gurney?
Yes, Sergeant.
A lady to see you about a dog.
I think I have a few of those forms here. Ah, Miss Bowles.
I just wanted to inquire about a dog license.
Well, you've no dog, Miss Bowles.
The Sergeant, can he hear us?
He's gone into the back room to listen to the hospital's requests on the wireless.
I didn't want him to think he was coming in to see you about the opera festival in your working hours.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Bowles.
Well, you mentioned on the evening Mr. McMonagall came to the meeting of the Development Association that you anticipated difficulty in raising funds.
That's an expensive thing, opera, Miss Bowles.
But at the gramophone recital last month, Mr. Aubrey Frawley said that he'd be happy to provide tangible support. Have you approached him?
Well, I'd feel a bit awkward going up to Kelly Cromper Hall cap in hand, like, especially as he's an Englishman.
Oh, the English can be very generous, and they love music.
But he's only been here for a couple of years. I wouldn't want to be seen to be grasping.
You must be more resolute, Guard. People like Mr. Frawley expect to be approached.
The truth of the matter is, I didn't get much encouragement from the Development Association. You probably noticed yourself that no one seemed to understand what an opera festival would do for the town. And Mr. McMonagall didn't give it much attention.
Opera's hardly the first priority of the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs.
I know, Miss Bowles, but there is an election coming up.
Are you there, Bernie?
Yes, Sergeant.
Would you take a ramble up the town and see what that working town put back?
I will, Sergeant.
And you can get me an ounce of Navy Cup while you're at it.
Right, Sergeant. Now, I wonder what my cap is.
Well, what I intended to say to you in passing is that my choir is making a study in depth of opera this season, and we were hoping we might provide your chorus for the festival. I'll walk up the street with you.
What operas are you studying?
Just some choruses. I Puritani and, of course, Nabucco. Da da da.
Va pensiero sulla liberate.
Sure, we could sing the principal parts ourselves, Miss Bowles, and not bother with any of those costly professionals.
I don't think anyone would travel far to hear me sing the Fair Abigail.
Peebles came from Derry and Strabane when your choir put on the concert in aid of the infantile paralysis.
I think that more interest in medicine than in music. Anyway, I'll tell the choir this evening that it's on. What is it?
Mr. Bonner going into the Swilly Arms. He gave me a queer look.
Some people don't seem to be able to appreciate good music.
I see wee stumpy bar hanging about the barn area. Wonder what he's looking for me.
And if you can't ask, what were you saying about Mr. Frawley?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the thing about these blow-ins is you don't know how far you can trust them.
Oh, you can hardly call Mr. Frawley a blow-in, Fonsi. He's been here the best part of 2 years.
But he was a blow-in when he arrived, wasn't he? I mean, what's his background? He could be a forger apprentice or a white slave trader. Often these high-class English gentlemen have a criminal record. Why? Robbing trains and that.
No, but they say he came to avoid the taxman over there.
Well, I suppose there's nothing you could object to in that.
Well, he buys all his newspapers in my shop, Fonsi. He even subscribes to the Vindicator.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he isn't spending his money in the town. No, he contributes to Miss Bowles' choir, I know that. Now, if she and Yardella, oh, God, that's a strange alliance, manage to worm something out of him for their operatic goings-on, the question that we asked, and legitimately asked about Mr. Fawley and his riches, is that the best way to spend them?
Huh? Indeed.
You certainly had a point at the last development meeting that a more, you know, traditional type of festival would be of greater benefit. Mm. I mean, I can't see many opera goers coming in here for a pint of an evening.
Oh, everyone will come in when you've the place done up. It'll be lovely.
Oh, I got word that the county tourism committee's going to give me the grant for upgrading the accommodation.
Did they tell you?
No, but I hear the letters in the post. Oh, and by the way, your decorative scheme is in the plan.
Oh, Fonsi.
Who's that?
It's me, Fonsi.
Oh, come in. Come in, Stumpy.
God, I didn't know you were in the hotel.
Hello, Fonsi. It was Miss McConkie I was looking for. I heard you were here.
Hello, Mr. Bonner.
Will you take anything, Stumpy?
No, thanks. I'm going on down to McTague's for a game of darts, so on.
Hey, well, take the weight off your self, anyway.
Miss McConkie, the editor wants a full report of your last meeting.
But I gave you that out there on the bar when I came downstairs. We discussed the old courthouse.
I know. But it's preferable when Miss McConkie gives me something all wrote out for me to copy. Then the editor can't say I left something out, so he can't.
But why would you do that, Stumpy?
Well, I think someone complained that I didn't give the other side. Oh. I have it wrote here. Mr. Alphonsus Doherty informed our correspondent that the building was in a dangerous condition. He said it should be demolished.
What I said was right, Stumpy.
I'll look up the minutes for you, Mr. Bonner. I have to go now, anyway.
Thanks, Miss McConkie. Anything wrote out is a great asset, so it is.
And you're welcome to report on next Thursday's meeting, when we'll be discussing the Opera Festival.
I'll try and make it. But I'll have to be down at the station when the Derry train gets in.
Hmm. Well, good luck, Mary.
I'll see you Thursday, Fonsi, then.
Aye. Take yourself down, Stumpy. Between ourselves and off the record, that was a very good report you wrote.
It was what you told me to write, Fonsi. But I had to follow up the editor's query, and now I've done that.
The public can't but agree now that that courthouse has got to go. It blocks the view of anyone who might be looking for this hotel. Now, I know that Miss Bowle and other parties think that it should be preserved, but people like that have no sense of practicality. Oh, the cost. Oh, by the way, Was it the same Miss Bowl who complained to your editor about not quoting her side of the question?
No, he wouldn't say so, he wouldn't.
I see. Now, she talks about an art center. Oh, very nice. But why not build a new art center out on the edge of the town and at half the cost?
You have to think of the money, so you do.
You're with me, Stumpy. Now, what happens? I have a wee plot of land down by Crotty's Quay, you know, at the back of the fish meal factory.
Isn't that McGarvey's land?
Well, it was, only I bought it off Mrs. McGarvey. At the time she was putting poor old Alec into the hospice, she needed the money. Oh, I gave her a very generous price for it. Oh, it was a charitable act, you know.
I wouldn't doubt you, Fonzie.
I mean, what would I want with an old bit of a field all rushes and nettles? It's been lying idle ever since. So, when I heard Miss Bowl going on about an art center, I said to myself, that was the ideal site.
Of course it is. So what's your difficulty?
You see, I can't mention me own land at a meeting. It could only look like I had a commercial interest in view. Do you get me?
Aye, I do.
So I want that old architectural gem. Oh, gem. Dirty oldest used courthouse bulldozed. So there can be no more talk of preserving it as an art center. And I'll tell you another thing, too. Joe McMonagall's behind me.
So, you want me to write a piece about it in the paper?
Not too direct. The fashion now in the cities is to build everything out in the suburbs. See, that could be your line.
No problem, Fonzie.
And the cash flow's healthy now, I'm glad to say. Oh, aye. Is it worth anything to you?
Ah, whatever you think yourself, Fonzie.
Here it is on page 4, Vera. The plea for Ballylennon exchange.
It didn't get as big a headline as the report that the courthouse was likely to be demolished.
Mm-hmm. A ministerial order announcing... Miss Vera McConkie Telephonist, who has been in charge of the exchange since 1939, said she had received dozens of calls congratulating her on retaining her position.
Well, I did get a call from Peg Sweeney at the parish house, and a lot of people I met going to Mass said they were delighted for me. And that wee skate that got there in the automatic exchange in Letterkenny, who thought they were taking us over. You could hear the bang as her jaw dropped when I told her.
Wee Stumpy Bonner knows how to fill a column.
Fonzie Doherty seems to have him in his pocket.
Well, isn't as well for us as he does, Vera. And if I had to get the prophecy, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that courthouse levelled into a car park before the summer.
Oh, my goodness, you've reminded me. I haven't written next week's horoscope for the Vindicator.
Did you ever discover what sign Vivian Bowen was under?
She let it slip that her birthday's a New Year's Day. Capricorn.
The goat. Skipping around on her wee dainty boots. God, look at the clock. I should have the shot.
She knows how to give a few sharp pucks with her horns, does our Miss Bowen. And a few good bleats, too.
Ballylennon Guards Barracks, hello.
Oh, hello, Guard Gallagher. I didn't speak immediately in case I got the sergeant. Vivian Bowles speaking.
Yes, Miss Bowles. Did you fill in your form for the dog license?
What? Oh, that? No, I've decided to get a parrot. We can sing duets together. I wanted to tell you that I have the opportunity of talking to a certain person. Uh-huh. I won't say the name because I believe telephone conversations are sometimes overheard.
Hmm.
Who might be very helpful to the opera festival. You know what I mean?
I think you do, Miss Bowl.
I just wanted your approval to speak to this person about the wherewithal.
Oh, yes, that's all right by me.
I have a reason to go into Letterkenny to look up something operatic in the library. And this person offered me a lift in his car. Save me being rattled about in that bus.
Very good, Miss Bowl. I'll be seeing you at the meeting on Thursday.
And I hope to have very good news for you then. Ciao!
Arrivederci, Miss Bowl.
I'm very put out, Stumpy. And that's the truth.
You have every right to be, Fonzie. If I got a letter like that, I'd wring the writer's neck, so I would.
How can I? And the writer's in Dublin. Oh, it's landed me in a queer pickle, I can tell you.
Especially as she was staying here as your guest, and then to shaft you like that.
That's the last time I sponsor a free night for any celebrity. gramophone club or no gramophone club.
And the members of the club...
Aye, all three of them.
...weren't too satisfied with missing Partalon's lecture either. Wasn't I there myself until I could stick it no longer?
Why didn't she write a complaint about the hotel to you? I mean, that'd be the normal procedure, you see. But no. She writes to the county tourism committee, and they send it on to me, inviting my comments. Huh. Inviting? I noted dust on all the ledges in the miserable room to which I was consigned. There were curly hairs on the bed linen.
Ho, ho.
And when I opened the wardrobe, two immense cockroaches fell out on the floor where they continued to copulate.
Holy smoke.
And my young Josie went through the bedrooms the previous weekend, scattering Keaton's powders all around her. I mean, no cockroach could have survived that unless they have developed a strong immunity to DDT. No. My difficulty, Stumpy, is that, you see, I've been allocated a grant by the same tourist committee.
Is that a fact?
No money yet, but I got the notification this morning.
Is it big money, Fonzie?
Oh, big enough. Big enough to put in half a dozen bathrooms full of every kind of gadget. Showers and douches and all sorts of yokes. Oh, you wouldn't know what to be doing with them. Well, now, the same tourism committee isn't going to pay me the grant after they've had complaints of the way I run my hotel. Huh? Now, are they?
Oh, that's where you might be wrong, Fonzie. The way they look at it, your hotel's in need of improvements. Complaints like this will only prove the point. So you're definitely in need of money, so you are.
But the mean inspectors and all kinds poking into every parlour and pantry. And you know, the fewer of those boys around, the better. You see, the fact is, Stumpy, I want to build a new lounge for musical entertainment.
And it was in your mind to use the upgrading grant for the new extension.
Well, I mean,
sure, they'll hardly notice.
Well, it'd depend on who was doing the inspecting. Of course, if it wasn't for the fear of bad publicity, I'd sure.
Miss Ni Fartalon. But sure, Fonzie, a person has the right to complain, even if they're wrong.
I'm not saying she was wrong. She might have found the things she said she found, though I'd contest that. But she was here as a non-paying guest. Her stay was sponsored. There was no contract between her and the Swilly Arms. I can see it in the paper, too. Radio presenter libels leading hotelier. That'd shake her.
I could mention it in the jottings.
That's what I'd like, to give her a fright. But better not. I need to keep my head down with the tourism committee.
Or they'd be suing you.
Huh?
Well, if they found you were spending their money on the lounge, they'd sue you, so they would.
Turn the wireless down a bit, Muriel. It's getting between me and my work.
I was waiting for benediction. Will I turn it off?
No, just down.
What's the kind of music we should be having in the festival? Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Oh, I believe Mr. Churchill loves to listen to Irish music. Would that surprise you?
Aye, and the new Queen loves a fry of black puddings. What about this for Cap Recording? An adverse aspect of Uranus in your sign is a warning against controversy. Keep away from public places on Thursday.
How do you know Vivian Bowle reads the horoscope?
I saw her studying it on the bus from Letterkenny. She said it was the only reason she bought the Vindicator.
She was only joking.
Many a word passed in jest conceals the truth. I wonder who this Madame Bailanti is that signs the horoscope. She cheated me on the bus. Probably some stuffy housewife in a place like Nottingham. I kept a long face.
Do you think she knew? Was she getting at you?
How would you know? Unless she's playing footsie with Stumpy Bonner down at the railway station, and that's hardly likely. This is what I've given Capricorn for love life. Capricorn, watch members of the opposite sex very closely. Under the guise of a bland exterior. Isn't that very good?
Mm-hmm.
Bland exterior.
Mm-hmm.
He or she may be trying to tell you something.
I don't see any sign of a he in her now.
Unless she's setting her cap at Reverend Hawthorne. It's a disadvantage, I believe, for one of their clergy to remain single. And he must be 30.
If the Reverend Hawthorne married Miss Bowle, he'd soon be transferred. And then there'd be no one to oppose Fonzie getting the old courthouse removed. And no one to support Gard Gallagher on his harebrained opera.
That's her thought. Do you think she's taking a fancy to the Gard? Wait, what about this? Seek romance in unexpected places. The pulpit or the barracks should not be ruled out. No, I can't say that. I'd better put in something positive. Health excellent, that'll do. If she fails to turn up at the meeting on Thursday, we'll know she does read the horoscope.
Order now. The meeting is convened. Apologies, Miss McConkie.
Oh, Terence really is still on the bed, and Reverend Hawthorne has gone to Belfast for the General Assembly.
I don't see Miss Bowle.
She must be unavoidably delayed.
I thought Mr. Bonner was covering this meeting for the paper.
There's an excursion train expected this evening.
Is that so, George Gallagher? So there's only the three of us. Right. Minutes and matters arising.
The article in the Irish Times about the old courthouse, Mr. Chairman. I drafted a letter of protest.
Yes, Miss McConkie.
Now, my attention has been drawn to an article in your esteemed paper.
No. Leave out esteem.
Oh, in your paper, where your architectural correspondent R.L. Watson uses terms in relation to this community one would not expect to find expressed by savages in Africa.
Very good. A veiled insult.
We also object to your description of Ballylennan as a sleepy village. For as any unbiased visitor can see, it is one of the most progressive smaller towns in mid-Donegal.
And what have you said about the subject of the article, the old courthouse?
Well, I haven't said anything. You see, we didn't recommend demolition at our last meeting. We only discussed it.
Right. Say no more. May I have a proposal that we send this letter? John?
I propose.
And you can second Mr. Conkey?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Now, the opera festival. Gallagher.
Well, my only difficulty is finance. There's plenty of musical talent available. And when I get my holidays, I'm going to my cousin's ordination in Rome, where I'll have the opportunity of seeing three operas and getting plenty of ideas.
Well, indeed, that's very enterprising of you, Gard. And all at your own expense.
Oh, yes. I'm saving up with a holiday fund.
What premises are you thinking of holding this festival in?
The Majestic Picture House has been available since it closed down. Mr. McFeeters is looking for another activity.
And he's interested in opera.
Anything that'll pay £20 a night rent.
A practical man. And when do you propose to launch this operatic festival?
Oh, I'd need plenty of time. Perhaps next year.
Ah, well, aye. Any comments, Miss McConkie?
Well, I didn't know God Gallagher was planning so far in advance. I was hoping for something that would bring in the tourists this year.
What exactly is the purpose of the festival, Gard?
Oh, never thought of it as some purpose. It'd be very pleasant.
And the funds?
Well, Miss Bowle was talking of Mr. Frawley becoming a patron.
I see.
A more traditional festival could be organized in a matter of weeks, Mr. Chairman.
Huh.
All the schools of Irish dancing would take part.
And we could have a treasure hunt and pub quizzes and a darts championship. We Stumpy Bonner could organize that.
Mm-hmm.
My lounge would be available at any time. Oh, yes, and welcome.
First, I'm going to form a committee.
A committee?
What for?
To make the arrangements and organize a public collection.
Ah, now, sure. Who'd subscribe? We all know how useless it is to try to squeeze money out of people.
I thought this association would be running it.
Oh, yes. It'd be a terrible mistake to start another committee in the town. You may be sure we're all behind you, Yard, in whatever you do.
I know you are, Chairman.
I formally propose that this development association organizes the festival.
Yard?
I'm not at all sure.
We won't put it to the vote because there's only the two of you present. And it'll be unfair for me to give my cast and vote to Miss McConkie.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody.
Oh, good evening, Miss Bowle.
Miss Bowle.
Good evening, Chairman.
Miss Bowle. We were afraid something unusual had prevented you from coming.
Sorry for being late, Mr. Chairman. I went to the Letterkenny Library and it took me a long time to find what I was looking for.
I'm just about to conclude the meeting, Miss Bowles. Yes, the main decision with George Gallagher's agreement was to postpone the Opera Festival for a year to give us time to, think. things out.
Oh, but we can't postpone, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gallagher doesn't know this, but Mr. Frawley confirmed to me in his car today that not only could we perform in his Oval Salon, but he's subscribed very substantially.
Ah, will he?
In fact, Mr. Chairman, I distinctly got the impression that money was no object.
The decision was to try something less ambitious this year.
Unity Singers have already practiced several operatic choruses, Mr. Chairman. It would be wrong to curb such local enthusiasm. And Mr. Frawley has very good contacts in England among the entrepreneurs. We could hardly put a damper on him.
Well, if he has the money...
A mixed festival, Chairman, that's the answer. Traditional and operatic. Don't you think so, God Gallagher?
Well, I need a bit of time to...
Aye. Operatic and traditional. As long as there's the money.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it to the meeting, Fonzie, but Miss McConkie says she'll write out a report for me, so she will.
That's right, Stumpy. It's a pint, isn't it?
Thanking you. Do you know what I got in the afternoon post? A press release from the County Tourism Committee giving a list of the premises that's getting money to put in bathrooms and toilets and all. And your name's on it, so it is.
Give us a look at that. Swilly Arms Hotel Upgrading Grant. That's the ticket. I'm modernizing, Stumpy. Here. Stink that.
Good luck. Good luck. I see they're also getting a grant at Mullock Inchigo House.
Huh? What's that?
There, by your thumb. Mr. and Mrs. Jonathan French O'Dowd grant to upgrade bed and breakfast accommodation to status of country guest house.
That tumble-down place. Out in the bogs.
You're right. You could graze a goat in the grass growing out of the gutters.
Well, damn me. Should no one in the right mind ever spend a night there? The walls are pissing with damp.
It's a historical kind of a place, you know.
Is it, aye? Like that old courthouse across the road.
The whole world will go up there and stay if it's done up. Some very famous person was born in it, you know. Bernard Shaw or Brian Boru or somebody.
Should I have the only officially registered accommodation around here?
It looks like you'll soon have a rival, so you will.
Huh?
Oh, there's Miss Bow. It's unusual to see her coming into a bar after a meeting.
Aye, with a newfound friend, John Gallagher. Encouraging him in his operatic play acting, no doubt. Oh, what are you having, Yard?
Will you take a drink, Miss Bow?
I'll have a lemonade, please.
Lemon's right.
Well, now, Miss Bow. Now, I'm sorry you missed the best part of the meeting. What did you say was the purpose of a festival?
To educate and give enjoyment, of course. But there are festivals and festivals. And I prefer culture to a carnival.
Do you indeed?
I was looking up something in the library earlier on, and my memory proved correct. This town was founded exactly 1,000 years ago by St. Lennon of Ballylennon. He was, as you may have forgotten since you went to school, the patron of singers and singing.
Is that a fact?
So that puts a purpose on the festival, a cultural purpose.
But wouldn't the commemoration of a saint not be a bit too religious? For a festival.
I've a healthy disdain for saints, Mr. Doherty. Yet the connection's obvious. Isn't it, Gard Gallagher?
Singers and singing, Miss Bowen. It has to be sure. Oh, Punchero, Solido.
In Episode 4 of Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonzie Doherty was T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie was Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker. Vivian Bowl was Anya McCartney, Gard Gallagher, John Hewitt, and Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSprawley. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes, and the series is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.